Can y'all hear me? Man, y'all dead. Good to be saved. Amen. You can do better than that. It's good to be saved. Amen. It is real good to be here and at Faith Baptist Youth Rally again, and it's a blessing. And I believe God already showed up. It's a blessing to be preaching with a good friend of mine, Brother Mike Gray. We've been friends for over 20-some years. And he met me at New Manna Youth Camp. And came up to me, didn't know me, but he said God had laid on his heart to have me come preach at his church. And I had just got done praying and asking God, Lord, you called me to preach, and I get to preach at my dad's church, a blessing, but if you want me to preach at other churches, other youth, Lord, would you open the doors? And he was the first one. And I'm indebted to him. A young, cocky preacher come down to Kentucky. And he allowed me to get behind his pulpit and preach to his young people. And I appreciate that. And when I hear Brother Mike Gray preach, he's a prince of preachers. I'm telling you that right now. And he can preach. He always has those neat titles that everybody else would love to get. Like last night, the bonehead. Who's the bonehead in the boneyard? What a title. He has a title of a message, and I hope he preaches it this weekend sometime, called How to Kill a Baptist Preacher.
That's a good one.
Amen. It's a real good one. Okay, come on, amen me. I like your feedback. Amen. And that's a good one. And I tell you what, How to Kill a Baptist Preacher, some of you young people would love that. Amen. You'd love your pastor to be killed. Amen. Amen. Loosen you up a little bit. Why don't you stand up? Why don't you stand up? It's been good. Amen. I don't know if you're getting the theme of the skit, but it's a blessing. All right, you may be seated. Just want you to stretch your legs. I'm not going to have you stand as you read the scripture, but I just want you to stand up and stretch your legs, wake you up a little bit. Listen, we're living in a generation, and I think you would agree with this, we're living in a generation that is more connected than any other generation. Would you agree with that, young people? Right? On our phones, we have all kinds of social media to interact. And listen, I like it. I got friends across the country, friends overseas. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law, which is here, they were in Israel. We got to see things firsthand as they were doing it on Marco Polo and those kind of things. I like that kind of stuff, don't you? Come on, I know you do. How many of y'all like Twitter? Trust me, I'm not setting you up. I think you're scared. I'm setting you up. Brother Sam's going to rip our faces off about social media. No, how many of y'all like social media? You can keep in touch with people, right? Yeah. I mean, listen, the donkey was just preached about, but there was times that a donkey had to mail, and it took forever to get over there to get to hear what was going on. But today, we can get on social media and see all kinds of things. Wouldn't you agree with that? And so we got all kinds of social media stuff to stay in contact, and I'm glad I can FaceTime, I can do things to be able to see people. But this generation has a great way to be connected. Brother Jesse over here is blind, and he has a phone and all these things, and be able to get connected with people, and it's a blessing. It is a blessing, and we have so many different things. Jesse has his phone. It speaks to him. Amen. I like that. Listen, I've told y'all, I have a special ed kid. I got a reading problem, and I've gotten better, but I have the Bible still read to me. Today, I had it read to me. Say, why? I comprehend it better. Thank God for those technologies. Thank God for those things, and we can be excited about that. And I know you get preachers that just rip your face off about all those things, but let me tell you something. Yet they can be bad, but the problem's not those things. It's your heart. And so, listen, I'm glad when it came out with the cell phone. It used to look like a brick. Texting came out. Man, that was cool. If you didn't want to answer somebody because they left a message, you didn't want to talk to them, you just give them a quick text. The thing crazy about texting, though, sometimes you don't know how they're giving it to you. Are they mad? Are they happy? You know, unless you see cuss words and stuff, you understand some things probably.
Emojis.
Yeah, emojis. Yes, they came out with emojis. And then you got Twitter. You know, a little tweeting. 140-some characters, right? 280, that's right. I just read that they're both, I'm not on it no more. I used to be, but Instagram, my wife has Instagram. We get to watch, it's real freaky. We get to watch other people's kids grow. Because Instagram, everybody's putting on their kids and their birthdays and the things they got. And so other people, when I see other people's kids, I've seen some here, I said, oh, I've seen you on the screen. I've watched you. My wife showed me you, and we've seen you. We're watching you grow up. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Facebook. Get on Facebook, and everybody has all connected through Facebook and all these things. And then you got Marco Polo, one of my favorite. I love Marco Polo. You can just be stupid. You can get on Marco Polo. It's real weird. Have you ever looked at it and you're watching yourself? I'm like, man, and you start talking away from the camera. And that's what I do. I like when in the car, it's like this. And then in my car, we have a thing that holds my phone. It's sideways, so I Marco Polo sideways. So everybody's listening to my polo like this. But you have all these things. And to be able to connect with people. But what I find is that this generation here is not connected with the Lord. Now listen to me, young people. God, before man set up all those technology things that we have, he had already set up a cell phone.
Yep.
You say, what is it? Prayer.
Amen.
He set it up before we even came out with cell phones. Or even before we even came out with phones, he set it up with prayer. It's a hotline to God. Not only that, he set up that cell phone, but he set up texting. You say, what do you mean? He gave you a word of God, the text.
Yeah.
He's always had a text. He's always did that. Not only that, he had Twitter. You know, Twitter uses that little bird like the Spirit of God. He's always had the Holy Spirit of God. You ever notice the Holy Spirit of God doesn't say a tons of paragraphs? Maybe, what was it, 280 words maybe?
Yeah.
Think about it. Hey, listen, I want you to go give that person a gospel tract. He just tweeted it to you.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Really? You ever been doing something connected with God, Brother Mike, and God says, hey, I want you to stop. Don't go there. Just got a tweet. He just tweeted me. Hey, listen, God has Instagram before Instagram ever came out. He said, it's showing pictures. What did he tell those disciples? He said, look at that fig tree. When we read it, you know what we're doing? We're putting a picture in our mind. When Jesus Christ would preach and those prophets would get up, they would use illustrations. When Nathan came to David, he talked about this story and made a picture. And when we read it, there's a picture. That's called Instagram. We're seeing things. Brother Mike just preached, Brother Mike Ray just preached, and he just illustrated that donkey. And listen, I never grew up around horses or donkey. I had a brother as one. I mean, but I didn't grow up around those things, but I got an image in my mind, and I just got Instagram from God. Facebook. You say, what's that? Well, I don't know much about Facebook. Our church has one, but I don't have one. But in Facebook, I know this, you're looking at people's stuff, you're looking at this stuff, and you're scrolling down, and people are saying stuff and everything. It's just like preaching. You say, what do you mean? You're describing things. You're in your face. You know what Brother Mike just did? What I'm doing right now, we're in your face. And we're taking a book, and we're opening it up, amen, and we're in your face. Preaching. Marco Polo. What I like about Marco Polo is that we can have friends, we can connect, and you can have so many as you want, and you send one message and it goes. And then you get to see their faces. It's fellowship. When I got a friend, Nathan Gipp, that's across the country, and he needs a fellowship, he'll polo me, and we see face to face, and we talk. When we get here, we see face to face, and we talk. It's called fellowship. God had already set up these things, but we're in a generation, Brother Michael, that is not connected with God like they should. I want to show you, so go to John chapter 14. We're going to be looking at some scripture, John chapter 14. You doing all right? Say whoop, whoop. All right. John chapter 14. Let me show you what the Lord did for us to give us this, to keep us connected with him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, listen, I'm going to leave you some things to keep you in connection with me, keep you in fellowship with me. In John chapter 14, look at verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. Brother Michael Easter, could you bring me my water, please? I appreciate it. John chapter 14, look at verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the who?
Holy Ghost.
Which is who?
Holy Ghost.
I need to hear a little louder. Which is who?
Holy Ghost.
It's the Holy Ghost. He said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. You say, what happened? If you're saved here tonight, God, Jesus Christ himself said, my Father is going to send you this Comforter, which is called the what?
Holy
Ghost. I don't know about you, Brother Jesse, but I enjoy the Holy Ghost inside of me. I love the Holy Ghost. I want you to look at this. We got to keep on moving. Look at John chapter 14. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. He says this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, what's the word? Comforter, which is the what? Holy Ghost, that he may abide with you forever.
Amen.
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 He said he's going to abide with you forever. Look at verse 17. Even the spirit of what? Say it to me.
True.
The spirit of what?
True.
Then why do we lie? If he's going to keep us in contact with him and he put his spirit down deep inside of us, then why, if the spirit of truth is in us, why do we lie? We should be telling truth, and when truth is spoke to us like a message just then, we should respond to truth.
Yeah.
And if the Holy Spirit of God, which we love, that's in deep inside of us, when truth comes and says, hey, you're not living right, or when truth comes and says, keep on doing what you're doing because you're doing good, son or daughter, we should listen to the spirit of truth.
Yeah.
He's in us.
Right.
Look at this. We got to keep moving. I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to lie to myself and think I'm somewhere where I'm not. We do that on social media, don't we? We do. This is the way we are. This is how we are. But really, down deep inside, we're not. But the Holy Spirit of God is saying, hey, don't lie like that. Look at this. Look at John 14, 26 again. He said, that Comforter, which is the what? Whom the Father would send in my name shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You know what the job of the Holy Spirit is? To keep us in contact with him is, number one, tell us truth. The other thing is to remind us of the scriptures. And if we're ever going to be reminded of the scriptures, let me remind you this, you got to read them. We get up here and get preaching. You know what happens? It reminds us of the scriptures. You say, what's going on? Brother Michael Shane or Josh or whoever's up here is preaching to us and saying something. And they might be preaching an encouraging message, but that Holy Spirit inside of you is preaching rebuke. They might be preaching rebuke, and then the Holy Spirit that's inside of us is stirred up and he's comforting us. So however my message comes across, it's the Holy Spirit of God. If he's inside of you, he's going to speak truth to you tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
And he's going to remind you of some things.
Amen.
Because you know why? Just like my sister-in-law said, why is it we forget he brought us through the storm before?
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at this. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You with me? Say, whoop, whoop. Look at verse 26. Verse 26, look what it says. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of who? Who is that me? Jesus. Listen, if the Spirit of truth is inside of you, He's telling truth, that Spirit, that comforter, the reminding of the Scriptures, and He's not going to talk about you. He's going to talk about Jesus. You ever wonder we're not around here this kind of meetings like this and singing songs about us? We're talking about that every knee's going to bow to who? Me? Jesus. You know what He's going to do? That Spirit of truth inside of you is going to make you want to speak about Jesus. He's going to make you want to carry Jesus. And that Spirit's going to bubble up inside of you and make you want to sing about Jesus. He's going to make you want to text about Jesus. That Spirit that comes down inside of you. I'm telling you, young people, you've got to get a hold of this thing. When you got saved, He put His Spirit inside of you. He wants to tell you truth. He wants to remind you of what Jesus said. And He wants you to talk about Him. Hallelujah. Talk about Jesus. Talk about Him. But look what He says here. John chapter 16. Look at John chapter 16. You with me? Say, woo, woo. John chapter 16, verse 7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus talking to the disciples. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. You know what Jesus is saying? He said, I'm going to leave, but I'm promising you, I'm going to send you something so special. I'm going to send you something so powerful. He said, I promise you, boys. Yeah. Verse 8, and when He comes, He will, what's the next word? Reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. You know, when we get connected with God, we'll begin to tell truth and begin to submit to truth. He'll remind us of the Scriptures. And listen, let me tell you something about reminding us of Scripture. He begins to comfort us with those Scriptures that we can comfort others. But now I don't have time to preach all this. I've preached some of this stuff in my church. But He says this. He says, I'll bring that comforter, that reminder. He said, you're going to talk about Me. He said, but when He comes, He's going to reprove the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. You said, well, I'm saved. Yes, but you know what we have in us? The world. We are creatures, and our habit is to go back to the world. And He said, I'm going to put them in there. Listen, I like this part. My flesh doesn't like it, but my spirit likes it. Because it was when the Holy Spirit of God comes in, Logan, He begins to tell me where I'm worldly and how I need to get out. He's reproving me. He's trying to pull it out of me so I can be more like Christ. You know what He's trying to do? He's trying to connect me with the Father. He's trying to connect me with the Father. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll have a relationship. I thought it was funny, Brother Mike, that God changed your message. Talking about God being on you. I'm going to be talking about God in you. But I want you to look at this. I want you to look at this. What is He trying to do? He's trying to bring fellowship. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 13, chapter 3, excuse me. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I'm trying to watch your time. Revelation chapter 3. Look what it says. He's talking about the church of Laodicea. In verse 14, the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things. This is the amen. That's Jesus Christ. You can say amen right there. Amen. The faithful and true witness. And being the creation of God. Look at verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not what thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then he says something really weird. He says this, I counsel thee to buy of my gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And he goes down and talks about being clothed in raiment and apparel, and that your eyes would have eye salves on it, and that your ears would be open to hear. But look at verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open, I will come unto him, and he will sup with me, and he with me. You say, what is he trying to do? He's trying to have fellowship in this age of Laodicea. Amen. Now listen to me. This is a Laodicean age. And I'm telling you, we are so rich, it's unbelievable. But we're so poor. But what's crazy is he says, I counsel you to buy of my gold. Wait a minute, Lord. I'm rich, but you said I have nothing. How am I supposed to buy of that gold? Lord, how am I supposed to buy of this gold? How am I supposed to do this? Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. A couple of chapters over, 1 Peter chapter 1. How am I supposed to buy of this gold? You said, I think I'm rich. I think I have all these things, but I'm poor and wretched. Look what the Bible says here in verse 7 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter chapter 1. That the trial of your faith being more precious than what? That perishes, though it be tried with what? Might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? You want to buy of his gold? Then you're going to have to go through trials of your faith. Hey, Laodicea, you're rich, but you're poor. You have nothing to give me but your faith. And you let me try your faith. And you keep your faith. He said, I'll come in and sup with you. He even says later on, he'll reign with me. Go to Colossians chapter 1. You with me? Amen. Some of y'all didn't go whoop whoop. We're getting somewhere. Colossians chapter 1. I love the Bible. Amen. But look, oh boy, I'm telling you, it's all connected. Yeah. It's so good. Look at Colossians chapter 1. I want you to see what it says here. Look at verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not removed away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice, listen, look what he says, he's a crazy man, who now rejoice in the sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Therefore, I am made a minister. Let me tell you, preachers, if you're ever going to minister, you're going to have to suffer. Yeah. You can preach all kinds of messages, but the messages that help people and minister to people are messages that people have been through some suffering. Brother Mike just preached about it. Look what he says. Verse 25, therefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation, of God, which is given unto me for you to fulfill the word of God. Wait a minute, there's dispensations that fulfill the word of God? Hey, listen, hopefully nobody here says I'm not dispensationalist. Paul said, hey, he gave me a dispensation.
That's right.
Uh-oh. I know some of you young people is going over your heads, but you got to understand this. He said God gave him something, and it's a mystery. We're going to see it. And it's something that you should know, and I should know, and we should teach each other and talk about it. Because he said you have to be a good steward of it. Look at this. He says this, verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid, from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. Manifest means brought to light, made known. When I read that, I want to stop and say, wait a minute. All these years, Brother Jesse, it's been hid. From all the ages? Now, wait a minute. In generations? Then this is important. If this has been hid, I want to know what it is. If God's revealed it to Paul to reveal to us Gentiles because we're getting in on salvation, you should want to know as a Christian what it is. Look what he says. Look what he says. He says, the riches of his glory to make known, verse 26, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches. Wait a minute, riches? Oh, the riches have been hid? I want to know what this is. Of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope, of glory. You say, what is that? That's that Holy Spirit we just talked about. And God said, it's a mystery. If you study your Bible, there are seven mysteries in the Bible, the Pauline mysteries. And he says, we're supposed to know them. We're supposed to teach them. We're supposed to be good stewards of them. And you need to know them. And listen, what I'm finding in churches is that there are young people don't even understand, Brother Mike, these mysteries. And this one's very important. Because it's talking about a holy, righteous, clean. I'm talking about holy. I'm talking about righteous. I'm talking about powerful. I'm talking about marvelous. God had come down when I got saved in 4 and put his spirit inside of me. And it's something special. It's something powerful. And it's a mystery. I don't understand it. You saved, brother? So you have Christ in you. You saved? Got Christ in you. You saved? You got Christ. There's all kinds of little Christ around here. Really? You got Christ in you, young lady? How is that? How has God manifested himself inside of us? Do you understand, all of us that are saved, it's almost like atomic bomb here. If the trumpet blew, it would blow the roof off this place. You say, why? Because he's in us. I'm talking about the one, hey, that parted the Red Sea. He's in us. I'm talking about the one. Hey, listen, I'm talking about the one that died on the cross. And they buried him. But he rose again. Hallelujah. He's in us. He's in us. And it's powerful. And Paul is telling these new converts, in Colossians, he says, you don't understand. It's been hid, but now it's been made known. And God revealed it to me, and now I'm revealing it to you, that he's in you. And there's hope. But I want you to look, chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at, where is it? Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now remember, Paul is talking. But if you thought about this first, it's almost like the Lord Jesus Christ is talking. Chapter 1, he's talking about how great they are and loving the saints and all these things. And he's praying for them daily. But he said, I want you to remember that there's something so powerful inside of you and so wonderful inside of you. He said, but there's a great conflict I have for you in Laodicea. If you study Laodicea, and Colossians were pretty close. He tells them later on in his chapter, he said, share this letter with Laodicea. And tell Laodicea that you read their letter that I sent them. But he says, I have a great conflict. Let's look at it. Look at verse 2. You with me say, that their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, into all the riches of the full assurance of understanding at the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. The mystery of God, we just read it. And of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What I want to preach on tonight is this. The great conflict in the hearts of this generation. The great conflict in the hearts of this generation of Christian kids. I preach youth meetings. I've been to some of y'all's churches and preached, and I'm seeing them drop off. They're not making it. College students quitting. And there's a great conflict in your heart. And Paul was worried about this great conflict. He said, why? Because they didn't understand how powerful God is. They didn't understand what they had inside of them. They didn't understand the words that they had. So let's look at this real quick. Number one, look at verse 2. I like to say this, that confessing. You say, what do you mean? There's a great conflict? Yes, you don't know how to confess. You say, what do you mean? I want you to look at verse 2. Look at the end there. It says this, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. You know what I see is that we don't take ownership of what God has given us. We're not confessing what God's given us. There's a holy, righteous God inside of me, and I know it. And if I'm going to confess that, you know who I want to confess it to? Men. I'm not saying brag. I'm saying I need to confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is inside of me. Holy Spirit, should I go here? That's acknowledging. That's confessing to him. Holy Spirit, how should I act? Holy Spirit, you're acknowledging that power that's inside of you. Lord, how much Bible should I read? Lord, who do you want me to pray about? Father, how much do you want me to tithe? You know what happens? You begin to confess to the Lord God that, hey, I know you're there. And you live in me. And you're speaking to me. And you begin to acknowledge his power. You begin to acknowledge him that's inside of you.
Amen.
Boy, if we would get some young people that acknowledge the mystery of God. There's a conflict in your hearts because you're scared to confess what's really inside of you. So you have to be cool. And so instead of God saying, he sends you a tweet, pass out a track. God, I can't do that. God, shut up. I don't want to hear you anymore. Holy Spirit, you stop confessing that he's in you. You stop acknowledging that he's there. But remember, he gave you all those things. And then you come to church and the Facebook gets up and he's preaching to you. And you reject it. Then you have Marco Polo, some friends come up and say, man, what's wrong with you? The Holy Spirit says, why don't you tell them? Why don't you ask them to pray for you? And you cut the Marco Polo off. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm using these things as types because that's what we do every day. But that's what God's been doing with you. But Paul says, I have a great conflict, and it's in your heart that you're not acknowledging what God has put inside of you. Paul got stoned and thrown out of city, and he brushed himself off and said, God, I know you put your spirit in me. I'm going back in. Paul gets bit by a snake, and he says, hey, guys, calm down. It's okay. Listen, I'm not charismatic. I'm not talking about, you guys know what I'm talking about, I hope. Been in a shipwreck and he says, hey, fellas, don't you worry. Who's doing that? The Lord Jesus Christ inside of him, the Holy Ghost. But you know what he's doing? He's confessing it. He's confessing it. Look at this. Number two, he begins to comprehend. Look down at the end of the verse. It says, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. All the riches? To understand, comprehending what God has for you. The comprehending means this, to take hold. Contain in the mind. If we would understand the words of God, the fullness of assurance, if we would understand like the Hebrew boys that were just up here, if we would understand like they would understand that, hey, I'm going to have the faith that Daniel had, and when that king, listen to me, when that king tells us to bow, we ain't bowing. They understood. They comprehended. They knew what the consequences are, but they knew that they needed to stand for God because there was a nation in the balance. And they comprehended that, and they wouldn't bow. They throw them in the fiery furnace. But let me tell you something. Because of that comprehension and that understanding, not only did they get a knowledge, but the king got knowledge. The king acknowledged who Jesus Christ was. Amen. Wait a minute. How did that king Joe see that was Jesus Christ? Who put that in his heart to say that? He looked in that fire and he said, I thought there were three boys. But now there's four, and the one looks like the Son of God. What are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is that when you begin to acknowledge the assurance and the riches that God has in his word that you obey and apply to your life, not only will you get to see God, others will see God. Amen. Look at this. Here's another one. Look at verse 2. Knit together in love. There's a closeness. He said, I got, there's a great conflict in their hearts because they don't know how to be close. I looked up the word knit. It means to unite, to connect in a network. Listen, there's folks I haven't seen here in a while, but we hugged necks and we connected. You say, what's done that? There was one source, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's love. In love one for another. And he begins to knit us together. He begins to put us together. Brother Axel, it's been years we did camp together. And I remember Brother Axel coming up and preaching and God putting his hand on him. And he joking and he's a comedian. Boy, I can go around. Brother Toby back here, going up there and preaching at your school and all that kind of stuff, all those years. And man, there's a connection. Boy, I can go around this room and talk about connections and thought Brother Mike and me meeting years ago in New Manor when I was a young man, and God knitted us together, and he begins to knit us together that we'd have that love. You say, what is that? That's the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you understand we all like different things? And if we weren't saved, we probably wouldn't even be friends. Matter of fact, I'd probably be talking bad about you. But because of the Holy Spirit of God that's inside of you and me, he knits us together. And when we understand and have some acknowledgement and understanding of him, we see God do great things. Amen. Brother Jason Dumas prayed 10 years ago. They came here. This youth rally changed their life. Literally changed their church. Amen. For the better. You say, what happened? God knit it together. And Brother Jason and me met years ago. And now I'm up there and we're doing camp together and God's knitting more together. Amen. And we're sitting at that stupid golf cart riding around thinking, God would use a special ed kid in a geek. He is a geek. And a special ed kid. and put us together and use us. And we'll be in that golf cart weeping over the kids getting saved and the families getting help and the things that are going on. You say, what is that? That is God taking two men with the Spirit of God inside of them and knitting them together that he would use them for his glory.
Amen.
We got to acknowledge that. Understand that. But then he says this, verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted. There's a great conflict in your hearts, young people. You say, why? Some of y'all don't know if you want the world's comfort, or God's comfort. And you're teetering. You're teetering. I'll tell you what I want. I want the comfort of God. Let me ask you something. Have you comforted somebody lately? When's the last time you comforted somebody? The conflict in the hearts of this generation, they have no confession, no comprehending, no closeness to God, to others. Then they have no comfort. We don't even know how to comfort the lost. We don't know how to comfort each other. And Jesse, because we reject the power of the Spirit of God, all we've used our talents to try to manipulate the Spirit of God. But I'm talking about somebody that's been broken. And God, that little donkey that you are, he puts his hand on you and begin to use you. Many of us have suffered some things, but we need to get to the place where we begin to acknowledge who he is and what he is inside of us and what he does for us and understand that he's assuring us he's going to take care of us. And be knit together with one another that we'd be able to comfort one another. Amen. Paul said, comfort one another with these words. Go to Luke. We're almost done. Luke 22. You with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Luke 22. Luke 22, look what it says in verse 31. And the Lord said unto Peter, Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. I'm going to change a word in there real quick. The Lord said, this generation, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. That he may sift you as wheat. But listen, this generation, I prayed for you.
Yeah. Amen.
That thy faith fail not. That thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. There's such a conflict in your heart right now. You don't know. I'm just going through the motions because everybody else is. I'm going to church because mommy is. I'm going to church because of this. But let me tell you something. There's a royal lion that wants to deceive you. And he's waiting for you to fall on your face in the lack of faith. He wants to sift you, but Jesus said this. I don't even have time to show you over there where we were, John. He begins to pray for Peter, James, John, all the disciples. But then he says, I pray for them that will receive me. Jesus Christ was in that garden there praying for you and I. Amen. He was sweating big drops of blood before he went to Calvary, looking down through the ages at 2019 here at Faith Baptist Church. You sitting here listening to the preaching. And he said, I pray for you, generation. I pray that your heart don't fail. I pray that you believe that I'm in you and I do something with you. I pray that you understand that I'm always going to be there with you. I pray that you understand I want you to be knit together. I pray that you understand that I've come to comfort you. And I'm not trying to hurt you when I reprove you. I hope you understand. He said, when thou art converted, he's in the garden. Brother Jesse, I need you to come to the piano. He's in the garden of Gethsemane. The soldiers show up. Peter has a sword. And you know what Peter does? Just like many of you here, listen to me, young people, look up here. Just like many of you, I'm going to do it my way. Peter's standing there. Lord, they're not going to take you. Hey, listen, in another chapter, when Jesus was telling them that he was going to die, Peter says, he rebukes Jesus, and he says, no, they ain't going to take you. He says, get behind me, Satan. Imagine that being said to you. They're in that garden, them soldiers show up. Peter pulls out a sword because he said, I'm going to do it my way. We got so many this generation, so many, I'm going to do it my own. I don't care. I don't care what Jesus says. I don't care what that preacher says. Right. I'm going to do it my way. And he pulls out that sword and he cuts the ear off. And Brother Mike, you know what that is? That's a teenager that will not listen. That's showing you that that's a person that will not listen. He cut the ear off of that servant and he's not listening. And I'm scared for this generation. You're not listening. He's in you. He's powerful. He's knocking at the door. He said, I'll sup with you. I'll comfort you. But why don't you let me in? Peter gets mad. And just like some of you, you're mad. But you still stay close. All the disciples had left, but Peter's the only one that stayed close. Peter followed and watching, but he was mad and he got around that fire. And they started asking him there who he was, and he denied Christ. But when that cock crew, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit of God reminded him of what Jesus said. See, they didn't have the Holy Ghost then. But God was already teaching Peter that you're going to get the Holy Ghost. And these are the things that I'm going to do to remind you of the words that I spoke. And the Bible says that Peter wept bitterly and he went out. Christ had died and rose again. And Peter comes to the grave and he's still unsure. He looks into that tomb. And the Bible says he walks away and he's kind of wagging his head like he don't understand. Then he sees Jesus. And Brother Mike, there's Jesus by the fire. Come, little children, he got the best fish ever. You want a good fish fry? Let Jesus make it. And they're around that fire. And he says this. He says, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, with a little attitude, you know I do. See, it's just like tonight. Many young people sitting here, and God says, lovest thou me? I want to sit on you, Eeyore. Lovest thou me? You know I do, Lord, you say with attitude. He said, well, why don't you strengthen your brethren? That brother that's fallen away, that sister that's fallen away, that mama that stopped going to church, that daddy that stopped reading his Bible and he's discouraged. He said, why don't you feed my sheep? He's sitting there by the fire. He does that about three times. Peter still didn't get it. Jesus, get ready to leave. And you know what he does? Just like you and me. Well, what about John? Well, what about John? What about her? What about mama and daddy? What about that person? and we begin to compare ourselves. And Jesus looks at him and says, what does it matter, Peter? What does it matter? Follow me. You know what, Brother Mike? The way I see it, Peter didn't get it to Acts chapter 1. Peter and them, there they were. And they're seeing Jesus and he's getting ready to descend. And they're asking him for a prophecy conference. When are you coming back, Lord? When are you going to take your throne on this earth? He said, hey, don't worry about that. He said, go preach the gospel. And then he says this, Brother Mike quoted it. You quoted it, and I knew God changed your message just to help my heart because I was nervous about this message. Then he says, you'll receive the Holy Ghost. He'll give you power to be my witnesses. You know what happened to Peter? He got converted. Amen. I'm not talking about salvation. He got converted. He changed his life. He went on to preach for the Lord Jesus Christ, had 3,000 saved. You know what, tonight as you stand, when are you going to get converted and say, I'm stopped playing a game? And I'm going to take advantage of this power that God's put inside of me. When are you going to get down here? Listen, I go to meetings and I say, I don't hear preacher boys getting called to preach anymore. Girls getting called to the mission field anymore. Girls say, I just want to marry a preacher and live for God and raise my babies. I don't hear that no more. Hey, listen, we got to a place because your hearts have gotten so much conflict, you don't know how to surrender your life. It took me, Brother Toby, I was 19 years old when I did it. I wish I did it when I was younger. I wish I sold out like my boy. I wish I would have sold out a lot earlier. How about it? Why don't you come? Why don't y'all start singing?